The 4th of July weekend produced a remarkable collision of weather events that deserve individual attention. The Chelan Hills Fire in Washington State went from 400 acres at dawn on Saturday to roughly 20,000 acres by evening. That rate of expansion, 50-fold growth in a single day, reflects the combination of wind, low humidity, and drought conditions that make Pacific Northwest fires in summer so dangerous. Dozens of homes have been destroyed. California deployed firefighters to Colorado's Aspen Acres fire, which has reached 85,000 acres and is one of the largest fires in Colorado's recent history.
Meanwhile, severe storms knocked out power to 80,000 residents in Maryland on July 4th, the same storms that forced the evacuation of the National Mall and delayed Trump's speech. Over 100 people were sickened at a Big Boy locomotive train stop in Philadelphia during 106-degree heat. Philadelphia also canceled its July 4th parade entirely because of the heat. These aren't isolated weather events. They're a concentrated expression of the conditions climatologists have been projecting for the mid-2020s. More extreme heat, more severe storms, more rapid onset wildfires, simultaneously across multiple regions.
The Department of Energy's actions this weekend are extraordinary in their timing. The DOE deleted 6,000 energy conservation pages from its website during this historic heatwave. Separately, a DOE webpage recommending thermostat settings of 75 to 78 degrees Fahrenheit for summer was quietly removed after New York City Mayor Mamdani's identical guidance sparked conservative political backlash. The DOE quietly removing evidence-based conservation guidance while a heat emergency is unfolding is a policy contradiction that's difficult to explain on any grounds other than political sensitivity.
The thermostat guidance story is particularly revealing. The 75 to 78 degree recommendation wasn't radical. It reflects decades of energy efficiency research and is consistent with guidance that has appeared on government websites for years. When Mamdani repeated it in New York, it became politically toxic because of who said it and in what context. The DOE's removal of the guidance days later suggests the federal government is managing its policy positions based on real-time political temperature rather than technical merit.
There's a positive story woven into the weather chaos, though. Electric school buses feeding power back to the grid during peak demand. Vehicle-to-grid technology, where electric vehicles function as distributed energy storage that can discharge during high-demand periods, is increasingly viable. School buses are actually an ideal candidate for this application because they're stationary during peak summer afternoon hours when grid demand is highest. The fact that this is happening at meaningful scale during an actual emergency, not just a pilot program, is a genuine development.
The Trump administration's proposed 702 rule cuts also deserve mention here. Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act governs how U.S. intelligence agencies collect communications of foreign targets. It's one of the most powerful surveillance authorities in the government's toolkit. The administration's proposal to cut the rules governing 702 would expand the practical scope of what intelligence agencies can collect. The timing of this announcement, buried in a broader regulatory agenda released over the holiday weekend, reflects a pattern of releasing controversial rule changes when media attention is focused elsewhere.